Welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. Another defeat leaves Forest well and truly in trouble. They are no longer sleepwalking towards the bottom three. A third successive home defeat also spells trouble for form that was obviously consistent last season. We'll take a look back at Spurs. We'll also discuss Steve Cooper and his position ahead of what is going to be a huge game against Bournemouth. Tom, first up, how are you? You've got a bit of a cold, you've got a bit of man flu, but you seem to be all right. You're on the mend.
I think I got from you, because
you're doing better than I was.
You said last week, "Oh, I'm dying." Yeah, I'm less of a drama queen. "Oh, I'm dying. And I meet you. See you on Wednesday. See you on Thursday. We spent too much time with each other. That's why I'm sick.
That's the problem. That is the problem.
And yeah, now look at me. I'm a broken man.
You're a broken man. Yeah. You're not overly enthusiastic. We're going to try and get a little bit of positivity out of you, but you're not overly enthusiastic after what you watched on Friday night. And obviously, there's a lot to talk about, because as we start recording, there's obviously a little bit of speculation around a potential candidate for Steve Cooper's job. But we'll come on to that. Let's part that. I'm trying to put that to the back of my mind. It's upset me a bit. But let's start off with Spurs, and we'll work our way through to talk about Steve Cooper. But overall reaction to the match and the performance against Spurs on Friday?
I think the one word that me and you said when we were texting each other whilst watching the game, toothless. Like,
yeah,
a lot of, it's like blowing a lot of hot air. Like, and some people think that's harsh. story of my life. Some people say that's harsh, but just, you know, I could see effort. Yeah, great, love effort. But I couldn't see a lot of quality. You know, there just wasn't a lot there for me. Like, I reckon we could still be playing game now and we still wouldn't have scored. No. And I think that's the problem. Like, it just felt like, do you know what? Again, I'm not blaming the effort, but I would say even like the first 10 minutes, like, I was about to text one of my mates and say, who's a Spurs fan, and say, "Well, we're in trouble here. Son's running the show." And then Forest get back into the game a little bit. I felt like started to see a bit more of the ball, started to control the game a bit more, the direction of the game, which is something I don't think they've done a lot of in maybe the last month or so. But like, there was never a point where I went, this is like brilliant. Like, it was good to see that we weren't going to get rolled over, and I never felt like we were going to get rolled over. But, you know, when you're coming out of a game and you're going, "Oh, that's positive because we didn't get rolled over," you know, unless you're playing a Man City. And nothing against Spurs, who obviously have had a fantastic start to the season. I just say, we're not talking about one of the mugs of the league. Like, we are talking about one of the top teams. But still, coming away from our own game, and a Spurs team that until the last game, and they were playing a team that were on their arses, they've not been in great form. So the fact I'm coming away going, "Well, we didn't get rolled over," I just think that's the point where we're at.
Yeah, I spoke to a few Spurs fans since the game on Friday. And they're always going to say that they're a funny bunch, Spurs fans. But it was quite unanimous in their view of their own performance. They were saying that was one of the worst they'd probably played all season. Which I think you've got to put that into context of how Forest played, and I think it probably takes some of the gloss, because what I would say is, I sat there first half in particular, maybe the opening kind of 10, 15 in the second half, and I thought Forest were okay. I thought it was a better performance. I thought it was a solid performance without really creating a lot of chances. I think that's the point, right? Forest weren't creating chance after chance after chance, and the chances that they did have fell to the players that you probably wouldn't want them to fall to. Your Coyotes, I mean, Toffolo scored last week, but Toff with the header. Bolly obviously looked like a rabbit in the headlights with the golden chance he had early second half. And it was that type of feel to it. Forest were kind of, they were getting on the end of things, but they were hopeful things. You know, the Forest set piece, Forest got obviously a new set piece coach in, made no impact on this game given when he obviously joined the club. But it was the near Carty throw which caused a lot of problems, which we saw at the back end of last season. It was those type of chances that Forest were creating. And I think you're toothless, your comment on Forest being toothless is absolutely spot on. I thought there was a lot of endeavour. You know, when you look at that side, that's what you're going to get, right? That's the side he picked against Wolves. because he knew he needed to go back to basics, almost similar to last season, go back to basics, become hard to beat, hard to break down. That's what he's gone with again. And look, I think Forrest did really well in that first half, and but it was classic one moment of I suppose, quality from Spurs. And let's be honest, a lapse in concentration from us. And all of a sudden, all of that hard work's undone. You go 1-0 down in the first half. And from that moment onwards, it looked like a stretch for Forrest. But there were good signs. There were definitely positive builds. And I think on another night, maybe one of the half chances we had goes in and it feels slightly different. But I just think you got what you were, you know, you were getting with that starting 11. And we said after the Wolves game last week, I know obviously we're playing a good Spurs side, and actually this back three works. It's worked in occasion. It worked a lot last season. It's worked at the start of this season. You felt like the back three was definitely the way to go. We said that on the pod last week. But you thought perhaps that midfield makeup might need to change just to give Forrest a little bit more impetus on the ball and get Forrest moving and just be a little bit more positive. And he didn't change it up. And I think that summed up the performance in reality. It was gutsy, it was hearty in some respects, but there is nowhere near enough quality on that pitch with that Forrest lineup. And actually saw some, you know, I think a few people mentioned it on Twitter that it almost felt like a cup tie. It was like Forrest were the kind of the plucky Championship side against Spurs, and like you said, Forrest weren't rolled over so they could move on and they could head held high. It can't be like that. Forest have got to be better than that. They've got to offer more on their home pitch. And I suppose that's ultimately the disappointment. Were you surprised then that he went with the same starting 11 that he did for Wolves? I think we talked, I said on the pod last week, I didn't expect many changes. I thought maybe one, two changes in that midfield mix just to try and get Forest on the ball and progressing a bit more. But it didn't happen. Steve Cooper opted to go with an unchanged 11.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, but I was disappointed probably a little bit. I felt I wasn't surprised because they stopped this losing run, and I suppose this feeling, and he set out a team against Wolves to play a certain way, and it got him a point. And I felt like at home to Spurs, he was probably going to set out to play that same way. And to be quite honest, I wouldn't be surprised if for the next handful of games we set out to play that way at this moment in time, because I think he feels like we have to revert back to that way in order to try and get something from games, which, you know, some people agree or disagree with. You know, I wanted maybe, I didn't want wholesale changes again. I didn't want another set of changes back, but, you know, maybe a couple of changes to just liven up that central midfield a little bit and offer something of maybe a bit more of a threat at home, something that can excite the fans, get them off their feet. You know, I feel like Danilo's got that quality and you know, Dominguez can do that at times as well. I just, you know, I wondered whether he might try something else in that midfield. I expected a Gibbs White to keep his place. I expected a Langer to keep his place. I mean, Forrest don't have loads of options in attack, and I didn't expect him to really shuffle the pack up too much, especially Toffolo and Nico. You know, I didn't expect there to be loads of changes, but I just wondered whether there was an opportunity there. But I always felt like after Wolves, he was gonna, you know, we said last week he went for a team against Wolves that he felt was loyal to his game plan, if you like. And that's not trying to create more gossip or drama than is needed at this moment in time. You know, I'm not saying going everyone's falling out of him or whatever, but he clearly went for a team that he felt like he could trust on the day. And I thought, well, he wasn't going to rip that up immediately the next game. So it wasn't a surprise, but I felt like there was an opportunity there to be just that slight bit more ambitious, like you've stopped the rot. How about just add something else in that midfield that could maybe change the game up a little bit more? But that wasn't to be.
I thought that midfield, in terms of the overall performance of that midfield, I thought Mangala was class again. I mean, he really is coming into his own, and we don't, you know, we talk about him a lot on this pod, but I think he's become, you know, easily probably Forrest's best player this season. You might make a case for Murillo since he's come into the side, but I think Mangala has been outstanding in that centre midfield position. In terms of Yates and Coyate, Yates is busy. I mean, you know what you're going to get with Yates. You're never quite sure with Coyote. I actually thought Coyote was okay. Go on.
Yeah, I was going to change it around a little bit. I was going to say, I thought it was one of Yates's best performances of this season, where I've just felt like sometimes he's coming to the team and what you even expect him to do, he hasn't necessarily done. But I felt he got himself about a bit more and was starting to look a bit more of a confident player. Maybe just having a couple of games in a row has done him a little bit of good in that respect. Carter, we might have a slightly different view on that one, but I felt like Yates had a solid game for me.
I mean, yeah, well, I was just about to come on and say, I thought Yates had a really good game. I think he got about Tottenham. He's everywhere, isn't he? And I think, you know, was it Carragher on commentary who talks about Yates? I mean, he always bigs Yates up just being an absolute nuisance and a nightmare to play against. He's snapping at people's heels. He's winning free kicks. That's his game, isn't it? In terms of that is very much Ryan Yates' game. I just thought again though on Friday, they struggled with that Mangala, Yates, Coyote pivot in midfield. There just wasn't enough there. Forrest couldn't get on the ball. What with Ryan Yates is, he's not a ball playing midfielder. Mangala was trying to do it on his own and Coyote was kind of in and out of games. Again, he was in that team last season when he had that run as a bit of a destroyer to get his foot in there. I feel like with a Yates and Coyote, you probably can't play them together, which is why I was disappointed that he went with the same side again. Don't get me wrong, it's solid enough as a three. But Forest need to be a little bit more than solid, especially because they're not playing with a striker on the pitch, etc. They need to help Gibbs White and Alanga a bit more than they were. There just seemed to be, for me, a big gap between the midfield and the front two. And there wasn't a lot of driving into midfield. It kind of almost bypassed it. I suppose that's where I think, that's where Forest got unstuck on Friday.
Yeah, and that's where I think adding a different dynamic in that central midfield with a Danilo would be a big help. I think Forrest are lacking kind of any movement in that third half of the pitch. There are people saying, Forrest are desperate. When you lose your main striker in any team, it will have an impact on any club. You know, we've seen it at Everton when they've lost the likes of Calvert-Lewin. We've seen it with other clubs, you know, in terms of you have this player you can rely on to score all your goals and obviously in a run of form to keep scoring goals, it allows other players to kind of do other things on the pitch and then it's harder for the other players around them to pick it up. And a 1 year is obviously Forrest's main threat. But Forrest, whether we like it or not, have to find other ways to score. You know, they can't just be so reliant on one player. Like I said, it will still have an impact regardless, but they have to find other ways to do it. And Forest aren't creating chances at the moment. We can say that, oh, this player can't score. Well, create some more chances. Find ways to get that player, you know, play to their strengths rather than just playing to your own, which is getting you nowhere. You know,
yeah.
And I think Forest do have goal threats, but I don't think they're utilising them. I don't think they are playing up to people's playing up to certain individual strengths, and they're just not creating enough strength. The chances that, you know, there isn't enough going on. There's not enough movement, like I said, in that final third, and so it's just all very pedestrian. Once you get up there, it is just like we're getting to a point with me now where we're getting to the final third, and I would put all my belongings on the fact that we'll either be offside or that, you know, we'll see a lot of people looking busy, but then we'll either lose it or it'll just go straight out or something like that. I'm getting to a point where I'm not confident we'll even create a chance, never mind, you know, then having the confidence for someone to put it in the back of the net. So
yeah,
that's where things have to improve and just lacking kind of ambition to be able to do that at the moment is something that worries me.
Yeah, I was going to come on. I mean, it brings me on nicely to my next point in terms of the false nine, if you will. Forrest, obviously, you have gone without a striker now for the last two games, choosing to go with Morgan Gibbs-White and Anthony Alanga up top. Let's talk about those two first. I thought Morgan Gibbs-White was actually, as you say, to use your term, I thought he was busy. I actually thought he had one of his better games on Friday night against Spurs. You know, he can't do it on his own. But Anthony Alanga obviously had the goal that was quite rightly clearly offside. But I thought Anthony Alanga was frustrating at times. You know, he's got pace to burn. He can get in behind. He's just sometimes too eager to go and gets himself offside, albeit obviously Spurs have a ridiculously high line. But he is someone who is consistently frustrating at the moment, Anthony Elanga. And I think there's a hell of a player in there. I think we've still not seen the best of him. So I'm not having a go at him purely because I don't think he's a good player. I think he is. I just don't think, and I was an advocate for the trying this because obviously it's not worked with Wood and Origi at times. I was an advocate for trying them in terms of working them as a two and just seeing how it goes. I don't think it's worked. I don't think Forest have got enough of a threat. Forest have got three games now until they get through to the January window. You know, we'll come on and talk about how we possibly set up against Bournemouth, but I think it's time to get a recognised striker back on the pitch, and you've got to try and get more out of Wood and Origi in these next three games because there needs to be a bit of a rethink in that area of the pitch. I don't think it's worked. I think this weekend against Bournemouth, I'd like to see Chris Wood back in the team, potentially alongside Elanga and Gibbs-White in behind him, just to help support and give Forrest that more of a threat. You've got to try and work out how they play with him, but I think at the minute you can clearly see it's just not working for Forest, is it, in the final third? But they've got to find a way in the next three games to get a bit more of a goal threat.
Exactly, yeah. And they have had players that have proved that they can score goals. You know I keep on saying his name, but Danilo went through that good run at the end of last season where he looked a real threat. I'll be honest with you, even though I still do rate him and think he is one of the most naturally talented players in the Forest squad, in my opinion. Alongside others, of course, but he hasn't looked his same self from the end of last season, and you know we've got Chris Wood who you would think since he signed for Forest he scored no goals. By the way, people speak about him on Twitter, and I get he's not Ronaldinho, but there is still a threat there. Is he the same Chris Wood that you know was playing in the Premier League a few years ago? No. But it doesn't mean he can't offer a threat. I get Origi in a way because I didn't understand the signing in the first place. But and when you're a cult hero somewhere, it kind of always fills me with dread because cult heroes in a lot of respects tend to be kind of joke players in some respects. Like they come on and yeah, they'll do a big moment, but they're probably a bit of a cult hero because you weren't expecting it, or they're more of a personality, or they pop up every now and again, but they don't tend to, you know, they're not an icon or a legend of the club for a reason, even though they've popped up in those big moments. So, you know, I get that one, but I do think Forest have threats. And as you say, and to repeat myself, Forest now have to start finding ways, which is easier said than done. I'm not, you know, a football manager myself, but I don't think there's, you know, it's not like I'm seeing balls going into the box constantly. They're not, you know, it's a lot of let's play the ball forward and try and hit teams on the break. But like I said, they're either being found out. You know, we're saying that Spurs play a high line. There's, you know, quite a few teams that have that high line now, or Forest are just offside because teams know that that's what Forest are going to do. That's what they did all last season. They tried to hit teams on the break. So what do you do if a team tries to do that? Force them offside.
Push up,
and your top teams in the division. You know, there's a lot of top players in this division, and they will force that. They will force that to happen. So find a different way. You know,
yeah,
have a different plan.
And that's it. There doesn't appear to be at the moment, does it? There isn't. You can't really see a plan. I'd say in that final third, you can see a solid plan. You can see the plan that is there to set Forest up and be difficult to break down. Probably more difficult to break down than they were couple of weeks ago, but there doesn't appear to be a plan in that final third. And look, we've been let down by injuries, and we could talk till the cows come home in terms of the recruitment, etc. But Forest have just got to find a way. They've got to find a way to be more threatening with the resources that they've got, and we're not seeing that at the moment. And it is tough just because the resources might not be obviously what Steve Cooper wants them to be, but he's got to try and find a tune and a combination that works just to try and get something in there in terms of goals on the pitch, because it's tough at the moment. It's a difficult watch. It what really hurt us Friday, I mean, let's be honest, we kind of beat around the bush in terms of, you know, Forest being workmanlike, and obviously I've talked about the first goal. Individual errors cost us again, didn't they? And it really was a game that summed up the individual errors. The quality, the difference in quality between Spurs and Forest, I don't think was a shock, but it was clear as it was clear for everyone to see, wasn't it? In terms of when Forest got into a decent position, they squandered because they just didn't have the quality. And then at the other end, just individual errors just costing us goals time and time again. What was really annoying about both those goals on Friday is that I think that personally they were, well, definitely one of them, but even the first goal, they were both goals that Forest could have stopped and not conceded, you know. And you've got to say, Turner's been at fault for both those goals there. I think he should have done better with the cross into the box, and he should have been a bit more commanding and maybe come out and cleaned Richarlison out, or at least left one on him. And I think he's kind of shirked that one. And then the second one is just an absolute clanger from Turner. He's obviously, his kick out has obviously gone astray, and that's obviously rattled him. And then the shot from the attacker's literally straight through his hands, and it's one that he's got to do better with. You could argue Nia Carter could have been a little bit stronger in forcing him out wide, but it's basically just hit at him at pace. And I mean, Cooper is going to look at that one, and you know, he's made a decision after Fulham to take Rokodamos out. I personally didn't necessarily understand that, other than the fact you've conceded five and you need to make a statement. I don't think Rokodamos was necessarily at fault for any of those five. Equally, though, he's not made a save. He's not made that many really strong saves. So I wouldn't say he's putting up the strongest case, but probably harsh to drop him. Although naturally that might be where you go after a 5-0 defeat in terms of swapping the goalkeepers. But Turner's done himself no favours here. I thought some of his shot stopping was okay. He's got down to one first half, which was a really good, smart save that he had to change direction in. But he looks shot. He looks absolutely shot. And really, I don't know where you go from here now in terms of the goalkeepers, because Steve Cooper's obviously, he's made that change originally to take Turner out. He's put Rokodamos in. He's given Rokodamos a short run of games. He's put Turner in. Turner's let him down again. I don't really know what he does at Bournemouth. The goalkeeping position is a real problem for Forest, isn't it? And you can't legislate for those errors, unfortunately, at this level.
You know, I think for me, when you're on this run of form and you know, you're losing games constantly, team's been changed because it's, you know, the reliable team. You know, quotation marks. As soon as they step on that pitch now, every single one of them is going to be scared of making a mistake, because the mistakes are constantly happening. Confidence, they're probably at some of their lowest at the moment. And people go, well, they're playing in their Premier League players. They should sort that out. It doesn't matter what division you're in. Like, confidence is confidence at the end of the day. And I saw Turner's reaction as soon as he made that mistake, and it was like, you know, frustration. I know frustration should, you know, he should be frustrated, but he looked so angry, you know, because it's almost like you're coming into a game and it's just like every single one of them's going on there going, don't be that guy to make the mistake. You know, don't be that one. We're seeing it week in, week out. Don't be that person to make the mistake. And I mean, when you're a goalkeeper, the mistakes tend to really matter. The get out of jail card isn't really there for a goalkeeper in most respects. But it's just, you know, even that was an awful mistake, and the goal was, both goals are ridiculous. I mean, personally, I think the first one is more on Willy Bolly, but you know, I'm not really going to contest who's more at fault for that one. It's a rubbish goal. Second one's even worse. So it doesn't really matter. Even at the other end, though, mistakes, you know, Forrester waiting for that big moment, you know, and that's what I think some people thought that Friday could have been. Look, losing to Spurs on another time, I wouldn't go, losing to Spurs, absolutely dreadful. You know, I would never come away from losing at home to Spurs, especially the Spurs side that have a bit of a different vibe about them at the start of this season, seem to be, you know, kind of when Cooper first came to us and the managers kind of reinstated, you know, the fans in terms of their mood. But I'd never turn around and say losing to Spurs is an awful result for a team that's in their second season in the Premier League after being promoted. I think, like I said, you are waiting for that big moment that flips the mood around, flips the you know, the confidence in the team and changes, you know, changes the way that everything's going. And I think that's what people wanted on Friday. And when you're seeing those mistakes from the goalkeeper, but even at the other end, you know, when you're seeing Alanga drift offside for that goal, you thought, right, this could be, you know, is the tide turning here? It wasn't offside, sod's law. Willie Bolly, just, I mean, as soon as the ball got to his feet for that chance where, you know, he needs to be getting it on target, and it went, probably hit my seat right towards the back of the upper Trent end. You know, these moments, you know, this is what we're waiting to change, and they're just happening in every single game now. And that's where the frustration's coming from. It is just when is this moment coming? Is it coming? Mm. You know, that's what we're all waiting for. Is that moment coming, and how is it going to happen? And it feels like it has to come in a big game like that in order to really change the mood and change the confidence. And that's why I think, you know, the reaction to losing Spurs was probably, and the reaction to those errors that you're talking about was probably bigger than it would be, you know, if we played Spurs, you know, any other time, because it's just waiting for that moment.
It is. I just think that one, the 2-0, I think Forest were having a stronger, you know, start to the second half. They were putting Spurs under a little bit of pressure. You say we had the offside goal. You feel a little bit of momentum building, and then they go and kick themselves in the balls, basically, by giving a really soft goal away. And look, I know what you're saying, but with Turner, you know, not to dig him out specifically, but going to a little bit, how many times have we seen an error now from Turner? And, you know, some of them have cost us goals, some haven't. You know, think about Brentford at home, etc. It's tough, right? It's tough. And I think Cooper, we said this when he swapped goalkeepers last time, and now he swapped, you know, he's brought Turner back. He's put himself into a little bit of a hole here now, because we always said the danger was to bring Turner back. If he has another clanger, where does he go? He's got two very unhappy goalkeepers. I feel like now Forest are in a position where, depending on finances, they're going to have to probably go and find another goalkeeper in January, because I think these two are either going to be shot or pissed off, and I'm not quite sure which, you know, confidence shot, not as in he's going to go out shooting, but I think their confidence will be shot, or they're just going to be so unhappy. And I just think it's a real tough position that Forest find themselves in now from a goalkeeping point of view. And I think you're right. Look, Forest need a break. They do need a break. I'm not quite sure whether it has to come in a big game. Spurs would have been great, obviously. I know what you're saying there in terms of the mentality and the momentum shift there. I think if Forest was to go and beat Bournemouth this weekend, though, I think, you know, one win changes everything for me. At the minute, it feels like Steve Cooper's going through this kind of slow, painful, you know, exit, if you like. But if Steve Cooper's still in charge on Saturday and Forest can get 3 points, irrelevant of who's coming up in the next couple of games, you know, looking at the fixtures as well at the bottom of the league, that could then start to edge that gap a little bit. Momentum starts to shift, and you start to, you know, you get 3 points on the board. So I don't think I'm quite there yet in terms of where some people are in terms of its panic station. Some people have already got us relegated to the Championship. I just think, given the league table and the fact that Forest is still just about maintaining a solid gap, one, two wins, or a one win and a point here and there in the next couple of games, albeit they're quite tough games coming up, can change things. But they've got to go and do it. And that's the problem. I didn't see enough. It's easy me sitting here going, oh, 3 points against Bournemouth, jobs are good in. Everyone else loses, 8 point gap, Merry Christmas. Forest have got to go and do it. And that's my worry at the minute, is I don't see. It's the first, like I said to you, the last couple of games, I've really started to worry. Even before Fulham, I've started to worry about the direction and the identity and where Forest are going as a team. I'm really worried after Friday night, purely because I can see the fight, I can see the passion. You can't ask for any more than that as fans, but we need more, because that isn't going to get you 3 points. That's not necessarily going to, in this league where the quality is so high, you need to be better than that. You need more. And I suppose that is my biggest worry now coming into these next run of games. And I think there's a lot of questions. Unfortunately, we don't want to see it. We talked about it. And we actually felt a couple of weeks ago, well, going back probably a month and a half now, certainly after Aston Villa, that Forest are actually starting to build a good squad, and January might just be about one or two. I don't know what the finances look like in January. We could have to sell before we can even contemplate buying. But I would suggest Forest need a good few players again, which is a joke in reality. But we're going to need to go and strengthen to give ourselves a chance in that second half of the season to get ourselves out of trouble. Because, but make no doubts about it. If, you know, we've said a couple of weeks ago, Forest was sleepwalking. We are well and truly in a four horse race at the minute, which we could quite easily get out of, but we could quite easily get sucked into further.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're going to have to use the loan window a bit better than what they did in the summer. I mean,
a bit better.
Out of the four loans, I'd definitely be getting rid of three. And therefore, that might have to be the direction which Forest go to. And who knows what loans are going to be available in January for Forest to even look at. You know, you're kind of then at the mercy of other clubs. You're also at the mercy of those clubs wanting to loan players to Forest because, you know, whether they look at, see all the facts or not, you know, they will look at what's happened to Andre Santos and they'll look at Nuno Tavares and they'll go, why should we loan players? Are they even going to play? You know?
Well, the players might not want to come as well. Do you know what I mean? The players might not want to come.
Exactly. So, you know, it's an interesting one. I think, yeah, the Jan window, Forest have to look to do some movement. I mean, it's funny. I'm still seeing rumours of double signings from Juventus. Or this morning I saw a £30 million striker from Germany linked in a, you know, Forest competing with Liverpool and Brighton. And I thought, well, where's all this cash coming from? Like, you know, not necessarily where's the cash coming from, but, you know, where's the wiggle room? You know, we don't know all the, you know, I'm not an accountant for the club, so I don't know how tight that is and how much wiggle room there is actually left. But, you know, my understanding would have been that after Johnson got, you know, Forest were waiting for Johnson to go. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they're certain that Johnson will go, then that's when they splash out on signings. And if you just do some, you know, basic maths, you know, those signings take up a large chunk of maybe some of the wiggle room that they would have had from Johnson alone. So then you would think, well, do they have to be cautious again, like they were coming up to the end of the window until that moment came? I don't know. I don't, you know, it goes back to the rules and regs or what they think might happen in the upcoming summer window. Who knows? But they have to look to do something. I mean, it doesn't also help, you know, even if Taiwo comes back, he goes to the African Cup of Nations. I think that's what he's probably trying to get Rush's fitness up for. You know, there seems to be videos of him coming back, which is brilliant. But obviously, he might go to the African Cup of Nations. There isn't loads of games in January, so in that respect, it won't impact too much. But you know, who knows if he stays fit when he goes to the African Cup of Nations? Because, you know, he's obviously had a few issues over the last year, so it's a really difficult one. Forest have to find a way through it. You know, it's one win in 13 or whatever it is now. You know, the mood is bleak at the moment. But like you say, look, if Forest beat Bournemouth at home, then everything's kind of looking a bit more rosy again. They play Newcastle away, which will be tough, but fitness isn't on their side either in a lot of respects. One of the worst injury records I've seen this season anyway. And Man United aren't a frills and spills team when they come to the City Ground. If anything, I kind of look at the Bournemouth at home game as the one I'm most worried about in some respects, because obviously, albeit they were losing before that game sadly got postponed, abandoned, you know, their run of form going into that game was tremendous. And you know, really their last game now is a 3-0 win away at Man United. So it doesn't get easier. You know, everyone's looking at that Bournemouth game going, well, he's got Bournemouth, like Steve Cooper's got Bournemouth, we pick up points there, tides turn, jobs are good. And like you say, it's one of the ones I would probably worry about the most when I looked at this set of fixtures in December, in terms of when I started seeing that run of form from Bournemouth. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Something has to, you know, change within the squad in terms of the way that we're looking at games, approaching games. The tide's got to turn.
The tide has got to turn. We're on Monday evening now. Obviously, an interesting... Well, there's a couple of things, actually, are breaking on X at the moment, which is enlightening, to say the least. But it would appear from the outside that Steve Cooper would be given Bournemouth, given the fact, as I say, we're on Monday night and there's been no communication. What I find odd is that there's been no communication from the club whatsoever following the defeat on Friday. I think there was a thank you message on Saturday morning, and that has been it, I believe, from the club on social media, which feels unusual for them. They're normally fairly active. Where are we now with Steve Cooper? We both agreed, I think, last week that we both want Steve Cooper to stay on. I think we're now getting to a point where I said after the game on Friday that whilst, obviously, to go back to your expression at the top, toothless, and we've obviously got concerns, I saw enough there to give Cooper another crack this weekend against Bournemouth. I think you agreed as well in that, and I think it would be harsh to sack him after a respectable defeat against Spurs. They're not the type of games that managers should really be getting sacked when you're in Forest position. But I suppose when you look at the run overall and where we are, kind of puts a different slant, as we've already said. But does he get Bournemouth now? And I suppose for me, really, you look at Bournemouth. Bournemouth comes on, what, the 23rd. You then go to Newcastle on the 26th, and you've got Man United at home on the 30th. They're the last three games, and you've got quite a long break. We've got the FA Cup, granted, but not Forest then aren't back in league action until January the 20th. So then there's a good 3 or 4 week break there. How does the club play this? Where are they at? Is it still Steve Cooper's your man? And I'm talking from a club perspective here. Steve Cooper's your man. We're going to back him. We're going to give him the festive period. We can then see where we are, but the plan would be to perhaps keep Steve Cooper in post and go again in January, as we've already talked about. Or are we at a point where we expect Steve Cooper to go any day now, and it's almost a matter of when and not if? Because I must admit, up until probably an hour and a half ago, I was in the first camp, and I would expect Steve Cooper to be in charge against Bournemouth. And I would therefore say you have to give him the festive games. But I'm not so sure, right now. I wouldn't be surprised if something in the next 24, 48 hours would suggest that Steve Cooper might be removed from post, which I just, one way or another, this has got to end some way, right? We've got to get on with things. And as fans, we're still, I think the vast majority are still behind Steve Cooper. Certainly in the ground, they are. But it just can't go on. We can't do this game-to-game thing, and especially into quite a condensed festive period.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, statements. Since when did you need to make a statement for bloody anything? People start wanting me to make a statement when I go for a piss soon. Put it on Twitter. We need to know about it.
I couldn't say wash your hands in the Trent End, but you're never a hero.
No, I won't get any water. That's the statement I'll be putting out about that one. No, I mean, look, I get why people want a statement. Why they want this kind of big hoo-ha, this big circus. Because they want closure one way or another, and they basically their thought or feeling is they want to be able to, if he's staying, for example, you know he's staying, and then you back him and that's it. The problem is, if you make a statement, you can say all day long, you can say all day long that he's going to stay, but then if you lose another 3 or 5 in a row, and your goal difference is minus 30 something by the end of that, then he probably would get sacked anyway. So then they get abused because why did you make that statement? You made yourselves look like right idiots. And then I suppose on the other hand, the reason why he's not been sacked yet is I think they're playing this one right in some respects, in that they are trying to mitigate the risk of backlash, which would then make the next manager's job, it would make it untenable anyway. It would make it an impossible job because, you sack him, everyone's unhappy, they're playing out, the expectation rises for the new manager because there's almost an air of not wanting him to fail, but there's an air of, well, we didn't want the last one to go. And then it rots and things can't move on and you're down anyway. So they're basically trying to play it out as long as they can. I said that I thought with Steve Cooper that they had time this season. We're almost lucky this season that the league is the way it is, in that I feel like they've got a little bit more time to take that risk and basically make it to the point where it's impossible for people to disagree with the decision that they make when if that does come to what they're going to do. But you know, it is frustrating because, you know, you were saying there, oh, give him the next few games and you know, like they'll be all right. They've got January, but the games are ticking by and they're ticking by fast. Time's moving fast. And therefore we're just allowing Forest to drop points and, you know, other teams to get closer to Forest. It's a really difficult one. You know, who wants Newcastle away to be their first game when they've come into a club that loved their last manager anyway, you know, and then you've got to play Man United at home. So it's a really tough one. And I also think a lot of it goes down to what we saw last season. Are the people that they want available? You know, was their first available? You know, we're talking about who we're linked with tonight. Well, I don't think he would be first choice. You know, probably around third or fourth.
Maybe, potentially. I mean, well, look, you're right. If Forest was to keep Steve Cooper and lose on Saturday, you're talking about therefore sacking a manager on Christmas Eve. You got a game on Boxing Day. You have to travel on Christmas Day. I just can't see it. The timelines don't work. I think you're either in now and you're in with Cooper until the new year, or you're out and you get it sorted pretty sharpish because there's quite a big game on Saturday and Forest need to win that game. Let's face it, you don't really fancy getting anything at Newcastle. And Man United are... Look, Man United, they're still a decent side in comparison to, you know, where we are at the minute. So let's not say otherwise. But, you know, that one, you would have potentially seen that as a potential. But I struggle with that right now. So you need to look at Bournemouth and go, yes, Bournemouth had a good run, but that's one that we need to target. This isn't helping anyone. Uncertainty is not helping anyone. They need to get it sorted either way. Look, let's talk about it. I think we've done quite well to get 40-odd minutes in and not talk about Nuno, Espirito Santos, which obviously Forest have been linked with tonight. I would caveat that is from a very good source in Fabrizio Romano. He has been wrong quite a few times this summer with Forest. And you feel... I'm unsure on this one, whether this has just been seeded to either A, put pressure on Steve Cooper, similar to the Benitez situation last season, whether it's just been seeded to get fan reaction, and therefore, based on what I'm seeing, from an ex point of view, that probably would get shelved pretty quickly, or actually, is it a genuine link? Have they had an interest in him previously? Let's not forget who his agent is in Mendes, and there's been, you know, suggestion that Marinakis and Mendes are now back in bed with each other and he's going to have an influence over, if he hasn't already in recent windows, have an influence over what Forest do in January. Depending on what one of those camps you, or whether you just think it's a fabricated rumour altogether, which would be option four, but it's probably somewhere in the middle of all of those, I would suggest, not to sit on the fence, but the more I think about it, the more, unfortunately, I feel like there could be an element of truth to this.
I mean, it sits definitely somewhere between there being an element of truth of it and it being seeded to certain journalists to gauge fan reaction. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because I would say the feeling of a change was heightened after Friday. It was the most I'd seen Twitter X that lively and forums that lively for, you know, the tide starting to turn a little bit in terms of that thought of maybe change might be the best option. I think it was always still a reluctant change from people because, like I said in other pods, I feel like, hate to repeat it, but obviously whenever that time has come, it's going to be with a full heart that people go, it's a shame, but maybe we do now need to do it. And I feel like we saw that more from people this weekend. And then obviously that rumour comes out tonight. It's like, oh, Jesus, absolutely not. You know, it's funny. I do think they are a bit of a PR, you know, a PR team in terms of trying to gauge that reaction and their decisions. I mean, that one for me was obviously always going to be reacted to badly because, you know, the reaction that we saw at Spurs in terms of the way they play football under Poch, for example, and then they went to a Nuno Santo, Mourinho, your Contes, and And I just feel like changing a Cooper to a Nuno Santos would be, it would be a big, big swing in direction in terms of that relationship with fans. I think that's important. I think it's something that whoever comes in next, I know it sounds really, look, ultimately, if you're winning matches, you're winning football matches, people will like you, you know, or they'll, you know, they will like coming to the games. They might not necessarily like you in the way that, that the fans have a relationship with Steve Cooper, but they will accept that he's the best man for the job. If you're getting the football results, that's the end of it. But I almost do feel the next move for Forest is pivotal, because it goes back to what I was saying before, in that whoever comes in next has got to try and ensure, the club have to try and ensure as well, that it doesn't turn into an atmosphere which makes his role even harder than it would already be. Because if he's coming in, the football results are bad enough that we felt that we had to get rid of someone that everyone really likes. So they need to be really careful with who that person is, because the fans have to have some, whoever comes in next isn't going to be, you know, overly loved immediately, unless it's Guardiola. But yeah, maybe slightly. Maybe he's getting bored. It's not going well at Man City at the moment, so maybe he'll
come have a go with us. Yeah,
yeah, it's going really well here. But you know, whoever comes in next has got to have an air of people going, okay, let's give this guy a chance. I just feel, well, maybe it's just quick reactions. Maybe people need to kind of soak it in at the moment. But you know, the reactions I'm seeing at the moment are, you know, I'd rather, you know, eat my own poo. So, yeah.
Well, no point. Just to play devil's advocate, and I think everyone who listens to the pod regularly knows where I am on Cooper. I'm a Cooper in, man. I want to see him in the dugout against Bournemouth. I understand, though, the opposite side of the argument. I'm not so narrow-minded to suggest that those who think it's time for a change are wrong, because I can definitely see, and we're probably all edging towards that way, even though I feel very strongly in one way. What I would say is, though, we've seen a lot of reaction, you know, speculation on who might possibly come in to replace Steve Cooper is not something new, is it? We've seen it for the last couple of weeks now. You know, we've seen Lopetegui mentioned. I think the reaction to Lopetegui has been similar in terms of, no, thank you. We've seen Glasner, the Austrian coach, links, and people are like, oh, not sure, he hasn't got any Premier League experience, etc. So, I think to your point, whoever comes in, he's got a tough gig anyway, because you've got to win the fans over after, you know, arguably the best manager we've had since Brian Clough, you could argue Frank Clark, but let's just, you know, he's up there, right? It's a conversation. So whoever comes in after Cooper has got a really tough gig to follow. And I think almost a nigh on impossible in terms of getting that same relationship going with the fans. Football's fickle, like you said, few results, few good results, and everyone's bouncing again and off we go into mid-table. But it's on a knife edge, that. And I just think this story for me tonight stinks more of the sticking the feelers out. But what would concern me more with that is, going back to my previous point, it feels a matter of when, not if. If we're starting to get to the point of leaking it. And I don't see a Leicester-style turnaround where they give him a contract extension or we get to a point. I just feel like, I think Forrest and the board at Forrest alluded to the fact in post-Arsenal, they didn't get rid of Cooper last year because they couldn't find anyone better. I think if we are talking about Nuno, we are probably talking about option three, option four, and it would suggest to me that they probably would have done this a week or two ago if they could have lined someone up that they all agreed on and they all wanted. And that's the other interesting one we're seeing tonight. We have to say it is pure speculation, but the fact that potentially the big man can't agree with his son in terms of who the potential new manager should be would probably sum up where Forest are in terms of the confidence I have in them picking a new man. Sometimes you've got to be careful what you wish for, and I just feel like they is potential here for them to get it horribly wrong. But we'll see. Do you expect Cooper to be in the dugout for Bournemouth?
I said that if he lasted by the end of play today, I thought he would. People go, that's a really small thing, like, don't get into detective work anytime soon, Tom, but like, the social media thing bugs me a little bit, because I would expect to see something. I mean, I know they usually have Mondays off, right? So that,
I think so, you know, yeah.
Might, might, you know, be why we've not seen loads in terms of training picks that might come tomorrow and all that. I mean, I don't take too much notice of him, if I'm being completely honest, but, you know, you'd expect to just see something pop up every now and again when you're flicking through X or whatever. And obviously we haven't seen anything. So it feels like, you know, have they put a bit of a hold on that kind of thing? Because I don't know. I think when the time comes, they're going to play it really sensitively. They're going to have to. So maybe they've already made their mind up, but they're trying to line things up and align everything up. But at some point, there's got to be a noise. You know, I would say if it does happen, it has to definitely happen. Or, you know, there has to be some kind of noise, even if it's just a sales promo, you know, tomorrow. But I stick by even with this noise about Nuno that I think Steve Cooper will be in charge for Bournemouth. For me, the Nuno noises are, you know, I stick by. They have a few people in mind, but maybe those people don't want the job right now. You know, if Olivier Glasner, you know, is linked with the Dortmund job only if, well, probably about an hour, or if that, before we were linked with Nuno Santos. You know, Lopetegui's linked with, whether it's believable or not, linked with Man United, and Ten Hag, I don't think, is far away from that exit door. So, you know, are their top targets becoming increasingly harder to get? You know, that will play a massive factor in it, which is why I think he might get Bournemouth.
Let's talk about Bournemouth. We won't do too long on this, but I've already said about Bournemouth being a tough one. You know, we've got to see this as being a real opportunity to turn a corner. How, let's presume, Cooper's the man picking the team on Saturday. How does he go about this? How does he set it up? What would you want to see? What would you do differently, perhaps, this weekend?
I would do what I wanted to happen for Spurs, which is I'm not looking for wholesale changes. You know, I'm looking for, I think there has to be an air of calm. When there's an air of inevitability or more of an uncertainty around and outside the club, the one thing you probably need is a bit more consistency on the pitch. Not consistency in terms of performances, may I add, but consistency in terms of personnel and effort. And that's why I wouldn't do wholesale changes, but I would, you know, let's say Steve Cooper's not going to be a mug. He will know, or he will find out one way or another that this kind of stuff's going on. And therefore, if you're him, just go for it. Sod it. Like, just, I'm not saying just throw everything at it, but I certainly wouldn't be starting with a midfield of Yates, Kouyaté and Mangala. I'd be adding maybe a bit more, you know, of a dynamic midfield in there, you know, a bit more legs. I mentioned Danilo so much, I would throw him in for this one. You know, maybe you go for something a bit different. You know, I'm not asking for wholesale changes, but I'm looking for ambition. Because, you know, I get why we chose the team for Wolves and we set up the way that we did. And in some respect, it, you know, partly worked because it stopped the defeats after a very big loss. And I get why he then did that again at home Spurs, because Spurs are one of the better teams in the league. And I suppose at that point, I said before the game, the one thing you just don't need to happen is get completely rolled over. And they didn't. But for this one, I think if you approach the game in the same way as those two and you don't win, or even, you know, you get a point, but it's in that vein of we didn't really go for it at any point. Yeah. Then I think that's, you know, that's going to, you know, piss off some people. So I think just give it, roll the dice, just have a bit more ambition. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to go out kicking in reality, haven't you? I think the shave, I'd pretty much keep the back three. You try and move it to the kind of the championship style 3-4-3 if we can. Sacrifice one of those midfield options and I'd bring in Chris Wood. I'd start Wood, Hudson-Odoi and Gibbs-White. And then in terms of the midfield too, I'd probably go Mangala and Dominguez. That might seem really harsh on Ryan Yates and dropping him and Kouyaté, but I think Forest needs to be better. It needs to be better on the ball. It needs to be more than just hustle and bustle. And look, Yates, he will have a role to play, I'm sure, on Saturday. He might need to come on and help shore it up. But I'd like to see Dominguez give it another go because we were really impressed. He seems to have struggled since that West Ham era and the West Ham defeat. But I was really impressed with Dominguez. So I'd like to see him back in and Forest go a little bit more front-footed. But give us a score prediction then for this one.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Oh, another draw. Yeah, I can see why you're going with that. I'm going to go 1-0. Now I can't go 1-0, Forrest. What a silly thing to say. I'm going to go 2-1, Forrest. Forrest won't keep a clean sheet. Not in the month of Sundays. Forrest won't keep a clean sheet. I'm going to go for a Forrest win, though. Just for pure hope and desperation, I think, more than anything. One thing I was going to say, we talked about the midfield there and potentially what might happen in the final third. Who'd you pick in goal?
I genuinely, even because of that mistake, I think he'll keep Turner in goal. I know he made that mistake, and I suppose Cooper's always said, you fight for the shirt, lose your place, it's yours to try and keep it or yours to get it back. I think in this... Yeah, I don't think Cooper rushed to put Vlachodimos into the team for whatever reason. Even when Turner was making errors in a few games. And I think that apart from that one mistake, I think he will keep him in for this one as well.
Cool. Right. Well, we're looking forward to it. We're up there again at the weekend, aren't we? Slight trepidation. It could be a good day. I've got to prep my Christmas dinner the day after, though, so we need to make sure it's not a lively festive session, but should be good fun. Looking forward to getting back. Let's see how the next few days pan out. It could be an interesting couple of days ahead before Bournemouth, but certainly looking forward to getting up. Guys, be great. Thank you for joining us. You can, if you want to drop us an email, you can get us at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com. You can follow us on X at timeaddedonpod. You can give us a follow on Spotify and Apple and leave a review. We probably won't be back, actually, after the Bournemouth game. We'll see how the next few days pan out. Hopefully, we don't have to do an emergency pod. We will probably try and do one in between Newcastle and Man United. Obviously, we're going into the busy festive period. Now, I'm not sure my missus would be too happy if I... did a pod on Christmas Eve while I was trying to prep my dinner. So I would just like to thank everyone for listening. Obviously, I hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas. I'm saying this, but we could be back in the next 24, 48 hours. But let's hope not. Have a lovely Christmas, everyone. We will be back. We'll definitely do a festive pod, hopefully before the Man United game. But yeah, have a wonderful Christmas. Everyone at the game on Saturday, have a good one. Come on, you Reds.